Thank you. Well, if we have any visitors here this morning, I think I recognize every face, but my mind's not always that great. It's possible I miss. If you're a visitor, please look in the pouch in the chair in front of you, and there'll be a little pouch there with a form and a pen, and if you could fill it out and give us some information about yourself and put that in a basket on the right of the door on the way out, we sure would appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Good morning. Some announcements. There are a number of them, and I'm going to take a minute or two to go over these. Prayer meeting every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock in the room back here. Everybody is welcome. Women's Bible study is continuing Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. Terry Buckler is leading the study of the Book of Ruth. All women are invited. Wednesday night is prayer meeting at 6 o'clock. Prayer and Bible study Wednesday night. Everybody's welcome. There's a note in here of a big thank you for all the people that worked on the spring house cleaning and the work. A lot of work was done, and we're very thankful for those of you that participated in that activity and the work. What a good day it was yesterday, and then turns cold today. Could have been the other way around. So thank you all for all the work that you did on the spring cleanup. Please sign up for the women's brunch next, I guess it's this coming Saturday, April 29th at 10:30 in the morning. Please sign up today. They've got carpools and drivers to make that trip to the brunch in Holly Lake Ranch at the home of our pianist Brenda Smith. You don't want to miss it if you haven't been there. It's, wow, what a delight. Kindness Cottage Food Pantry collection today and next Sunday. We'll be collecting food for Kindness Cottage. They have asked for ramen noodles, Pop-Tarts, crackers, soups, rice, small bags of dried beans, flour, sugar, and that. I want to go into one thing that the leadership committee has undertaken to do. As you know, Brady Cole was here with the group of people from Georgia and the Grace Farm. If you missed that, you missed a real treat too. But he has Grace Farm Youth Camps. He has a Georgia Missions Project, all ages June 4th through 10th. He has a junior camp. This is 8 to 12-year-old children, June 13 and 16. He has Grace Camp, Camp Grace, 12 to 18-year-olds, June 19th through 23. And a wild camp, 12, 18, July 24th and 27th. The elders and the leadership committee has undertaken to try to encourage people to participate in this, not just because Freddie Coyle is a good teacher, but also because it's a great camp. And those of you that have gone there know that. And what we want to undertake to do is to see that every youth who has any participation needs would like to go, gets to go, even if we fund it with a scholarship. So if you know people, young children, 8 to 12, for June 13th through 16, we already have one youth in the area willing to go. We have a driver that's willing to drive a couple of more. So what we want to do is we want to encourage you to if it's nieces, nephews, grandchildren, or if you know someone, we would like to know and have them make an application. The undertaking would be made by the church itself to try to fund their camp fees and transportation. So, please, anybody that has anybody that you would like to recommend, please give that information to somebody on the leadership committee and especially me, so that we can see that we get them to the camp. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings of life, for the work team that did all the work yesterday, and for the continuing work that they are undertaking to do. We pray, Father, for this church, your people. And we've watched your people do the work and know that they are dedicated to your word. And we pray, Father, that as we go through the service today, that we each seek to worship you in song and word and prayer and reading and understanding. We pray, Father, that we grow in faith and wisdom and guidance. We thank you, Father, for your love and your patience and your blessings and many, many blessings that you have blessed us with. We pray, Father, for Mike McFarland as he delivers the message today. We would ask that you be with him and his family. And we pray, Father, that you be with each and every one of the people here in this congregation this morning and their families, that the families would be looped in to hearing the word and seeing what you have to share with each and every one of us, which is life everlasting. Pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Scripture reading this morning is 1 John 3:23-4:4. 1 John 3:23-4:4. 1 John 3:23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, and whereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he has given us. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard, and it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Well, good morning, church. Good to see each one of you here this morning. I would attempt to name everyone that was here yesterday and give you a big thank you. There were a lot of folks here working yesterday, but I would forget somebody, And that would be a shame to do that. But we had folks working here and honoring the Lord that way. And a big thank you to each and every one of you. The facilities look great. The shrubs look great. The windows are clean. The carpets are all nice, swept. Boy, that's nice. Thank you, each and every one. It's good to be here this morning. And I'll say again, thank you, thank you, thank you. And good morning, church. It's good to see you. I was reading this morning earlier, and an old couple took their son, their grandson, to church with them, 4 years old. And when grandmother is in church, she sings in the choir. And so she left the little four-year-old in charge, or the grandpa in charge of the four-year-old, and they gave the child a quarter and said, here, you keep this, and if you keep grandpa awake during the entire service, I'll give you this 25 cents. And so the service went on, and the old man fell asleep. And the little boy just sat by and every now and then glanced over at grandpa. After the service, the grandmother came up to him and said, son, what's going on? I gave you 25 cents if you would keep grandpa awake. He said, grandpa gave me 50 cents. So that's really the way that it happens most times. I've had some four-year-olds before. I like the story about the six-year-old who went to Sunday school and told his Sunday school teacher that his mother says his prayers for him every night. The teacher was a little puzzled. She responded, that's very commendable. What does she say? The little boy replied, thank God he's in bed. We're in the book of 1 John. If you want to turn there this morning, that would be good. We're going to be looking at the final verses in chapter 3 and going into chapter 4. The book of 1 John is really about love. The Apostle John, in his gospel, mentions that he was loved of Christ. It seems as if he was loved of Christ more than Christ loved the other apostles. But that was John's opinion. And he carries that opinion over into the book of 1 John. And the book of 1 John is really a book about love. Not the erotic love that we think of so much. Not the mushy, warm, fuzzy feelings. Accepting all things that a person might do because we quote-unquote, love them. But this is a book about love, what love really is. The best example that I could probably give you of the love that is referred to here in the book of 1 John is a husband and wife in the kitchen. And the wife cooks for her husband and her family, and the husband goes off to work and works for his family. You see, this kind of love that John is mentioning here in the book of 1 John is a love that produces results. Love that produces results. Let me say this. I want to say this. It just came to my mind. We had some teenagers here yesterday working. You know who you are, and probably over in that back, as I look back in the back right corner. Thank you all for being here. Thrilled my soul to see these youngsters out working. And thank you. You're a blessing to me. But this is a book about love that produces results. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer that He might guide our thoughts this morning. Father, we come to You this morning. We thank You so much for those who invested their time and their efforts and their labors in the things that needed to be done here at Lake Country Bible Church. Father, we know this is just a building. Father, it's a building that represents you and what you are to us, our Savior, our King. One day we will rule and reign with you in heaven. Father, we want this place to be appealing to those that are outside the family in this church. Father, we just thank you for each one that was here yesterday. Father, today as we look into this book of 1 John, that you would guide our thoughts. And Father, that we might examine our lives as John would have us to, and as he encourages us to, that we might have that kind of love that produces results. Results, Father, that are honoring and glorifying to you. Father, we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. John, writing, and he mentions in this book many times, test. Test. T-E-S-T. Test. As to how we as believers can determine how much we love. Not how much other people love us, but how much we love those that are in the family of God. We find in 1 John earlier in chapter 3, he mentions, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. This is an encouragement. This is for those times when we feel like maybe, just maybe, we might not have it right in our walk with him. John here is saying that we know that we've passed. You can be assured that you've passed from death unto life, if you would, because we love the brethren. I mentioned last week about some brethren that are difficult to love. Some people are just difficult to love. However, we're still called by the Word of God to love these individuals. John goes on to say that whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding to him in him. So this is another test. John throws out these tests sort of frequently throughout the book of 1 John. And it goes on to mention, he says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. John brings these truths to the forefront. He brings these truths to the top, if you would, of what he's trying to get at and what he's trying to say, what he is trying for the those who read this book of 1 John to comprehend. And he says, hereby perceive we the love of God. How do we show forth, if you would, the love of God? How is it that we are encouraged in our walk with him? By the love of God. Because he laid down his life for us. That's how we can know. That's what we can depend upon. That's what can bring comfort in those times in which we are uncertain that maybe our walk just isn't what it ought to be. And maybe there's something else that we need to apply in the Word of God. I was speaking to someone this morning, and she mentioned a friend about the church that this friend attends. And the friend came to her and asked for maybe some comment. Their pastor has now strayed from the Word of God into this thing of God told me. God spoke to me. And this is why, you see, pastors sometimes fall into that category of thinking that maybe, just maybe, there's something more that God has for them. And so they begin to mention things that would maybe cause people to think that they have a special end with God. Maybe God has something special to accomplish in their life. And they can't find it in the Word of God. It's not there. That's the reason they can't find it. So they try to justify and to give substance and reliability and importance to bringing up these things of God spoke to me, God told me, and then they go on with whatever they want to say. We can perceive that the love of God, because He laid down His life. We can see in our lives when we begin to do for others that may not be as we are. They may have needs, they may have shortcomings, they may have places in their lives that have been rough roads, if you would. But He goes on to say, we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We find John goes on and he begins to express openly his love for those who have trusted Christ. And he uses a family, if you would, illustration. And he goes in 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, my little children. That's tender. Little children. You ever seen a newborn baby or a baby that's 6 months old or maybe a year old or maybe like our great grandson who's 18 months old? You love them. You just love them. You want to be there for them. You want to comfort them when things go bad, when they fall and have a bump on the head. You want to give them the things that cause them to be satisfied. This is the way that John is speaking concerning these ones who know Christ. He says, my little children. My little children. The brethren, those who know Christ. John says, my little children. He lays down here, if you would, a pattern of our conduct towards those who know Christ as Savior, but who might be just a little bit tough to love. He says, my little children, let us love not in word, neither in tongue, but in deed, in action, if you would, and in truth. Always honest. Always dealing out and fulfilling the needs of those who know Christ as their Savior. We find in verse 19, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. When we demonstrate our love in a way in which benefits others, we find that we have a confidence before God. When we go to Him in prayer, we have a confidence in the truths and the Word of God and the promises that God gives us from His Word when we love the brethren. And we can find as we go about in this life, in this walk as a believer, that we can begin to love those who are a little bit hard to love. I have experienced sometimes the assault, if you would, of fellow believers, or at least they say they were believers. And I found it hard. I found it hard to love them. And for a long time, I had that barrier just whenever I would see them or meet them, this barrier of, if you would, uncomfortableness, of distrust, of dislike, if you would. But you know, now I have a tenderness towards those individuals. I appreciate their stand. I appreciate His work in the church that He's attending now. That is God at work, if you would, in me, produces action and will give us confidence in our prayer when we demonstrate our love for the brethren. It will give us confidence in our daily walk. It will give us confidence in our worship in our reading of the Scriptures and in our study of the Scriptures. Confidence that we have a right relationship with God. The test, if you would. Have you ever had doubts? Have you? Let me say this. I have. Not one time, not two times. I can't count the time. But I have had doubts. Am I doing what I should be doing for the Lord? Is that what God would have for me to do? Did I really, as a young Christian, did I really trust Him in a way in which gives me salvation? Can it be that easy? John says, hereby we know that we are of the truth. Sure our hearts before Him. Nothing like knowing that we're of the truth. And John gives these tests throughout the book of 1 John. As we begin to approach chapter 4, we find that John says, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. You see, it's not necessarily a sin to doubt your salvation. It's not necessarily a sin to doubt your calling, the work of the Lord. It's not necessarily a sin. God knows your hearts. He says, for our heart, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and He knoweth all things. We do not have the assurance. God is greater than our hearts. God is greater than our hesitation. God is greater than our doubts. He still hears our prayers. He still leads. He still guides. He still directs. And oh friend, He still loves. Loves us as His children. Verse 21, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Believers, as we go to prayer, and ask only those things that are in accordance with God's will. Many times I've asked for things that were not in accordance with God's will. God gave them to me even though they were not in His will. Many times, in fact, every time that I can think of, they didn't bring the satisfaction, the fulfillment, and the confidence that I thought they would. We ask what's not in accordance with God's will. We should pray that we would accept God's perfect will, no matter what that is, because it's probably something better than what we were asking for. We ought to remember that God loves us with a perfect love. He knows us inside and out. He knows how we think. He knows the things that we have as shortcomings. He knows the things that we have as sin. He knows us inside and out. You know what? He still says, I love you. He loved us so much that He allowed His Son to come, be nailed to a cruel cross, and die for the sins of the whole world. That's how much He loves us. You see, His love produced results. His love produced action. His love produced a way that we would have eternal life as a free gift. Love in action. In other words, if we love and we do things that bring about results, gives us assurance as we pray, as we see God ask, or as we see God answer for the things that we've asked for. It brings assurance. And you know, I've prayed for our family here in this church. I pray for God's will to be done. And I see it manifested time after time after time. I know this morning we're a little bit shy on attendees. I think some of them worked so hard they couldn't get out of bed this morning. But you see, that love produces action. You're seeing it. You're sitting around in action, brought about by love for us. This is His commandment, verse 23, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what God wants, for us to believe. God who saves, Jehovah Yahshua, Jesus. God who saves, who keeps, who defends. We find then, verse 24, and he that keepeth His commandment dwelleth in Him, and He in him. Hereby we know He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, God Himself, living within us, leading us, teaching us, convicting us, protecting us. We know that He abides in us because His Spirit abides in us. You see, that's another test that John is throwing out for us who know Christ as our personal Savior. His Holy Spirit makes true, gives us the confidence, helps us to understand that we are His and He is ours. We find as we begin to look in chapter 4 this morning, we find that John is writing, and once again, we find tests here that John is giving us, and the test results. John would have us to be warned by the test results. Beloved, believe not every spirit. This is what the individual was talking about this morning in the church, where the pastor has become sidetracked, trying to self-glorify himself as being someone special that God speaks to them audibly. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, test whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Those same false prophets are here. Maybe not the exact same ones, but the false prophets, they are prolific in the world in which we live today. John says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Here's the test. 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 John is giving us a way to test. But try the spirits where they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out to the world. Verse 2, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. We who know Christ as our personal Savior, we know of the Spirit of God. He dwells within us. He leads us, guides us, convicts us, teaches us, strengthens us, protects us. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. What's your testimony? What's my testimony? What's the testimony of those that are supposedly fellow believers? What about this spirit that is so prolific? Verse 3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is the way you test. This is what you look for. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. And that spirit of Antichrist is present today. And I personally believe it is expanding, growing, that spirit of Antichrist. But the test is, you can know whether the spirit is of God or not of God. Because is the spirit that you're confronted with, does it fit into, if you would, what John says here? And now the spirit, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ and the flesh is of God. Is that the spirit that you're having to test to see if it's of God or not? Test the spirit to prove the spirit. You see, love can become mushy. It can become rather sentimental. Paul prayed, Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, that love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. The so-called love of liberals is one of, I sure love you, put your money in the plate or in the box in the back. That kind of love. What can you do for me? I love you, but, you know, I really have this need. There's many there who will say anything in order that we might respond to their plea. The so-called love of liberals sort of slops all over the side of the slop bucket. It's mushy. It flows, overflows. But you know what? It's not of God. There are many false prophets and teachers that the child of God should avoid, as he does a rattlesnake. We're sort of picky. We're sort of picky about the books that go into our library. I might say that in the past, somebody's not been real picky about the books in the library. But we're going to try to sift through those and make sure that what's in our library is in accordance with the Word of God in doctrine and in practice. So pray that we might do a good job of that, because once again, false teachers. And it seems to me that everybody wants to write a book. It seems to me that they think that it will give maybe some credence to their life, fulfillment to their life. Let me say this, there's no greater fulfillment in life than to be used of God, seeing people come to know Christ as personal Savior. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. That's what many Christians should be anxious about. Not writing a book, but hearing God tell them, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You see, false teachers are inspired by these evil spirits that are so prevalent in the world today. We find also that they deny the incarnation of Christ and all his work of redemption. You see, Christ maybe didn't do it all. You know, if you want to trust Christ and go to heaven, you come down here. See, that's the message. You walk the aisle. Here is where you trust Christ. Here is where salvation is given. Watch it. Watch it. The gospel is attacked, if you would, through the back door. When you come to my house, most people come in the back door. Their family. Their home. But you see, Satan uses the back door, if you would, of our trust in Christ. He uses the back door to bring in works. Walk the aisle. Oh, I forgot. Make Jesus Lord of your life. Oh, I forgot. Tithe 10%. If you really want to be spiritual, if you really want to be spiritual and be recognized, then you come down and get on your knees at the mourner's bench and you make a show. You see, that's coming in the back door. That's adding works what Christ said, to add work to what the Word of God says. Belief, trust, faith, love. I can lay in bed, or let me say this, I can lay in the woods in the wee hours of the morning by myself if I'm unsaved. And I can trust Christ and what He's done for me to get me to heaven. And I become a child of God at that moment. Experience the Spirit birth. Experience the cleansing that's done by the Holy Spirit as He places us into the body of Christ. As the Holy Spirit takes abode within us. I can be far away by myself. No wild walks. No making Jesus Lord of my life. But you see, I'm going to fail as a believer. I'm going to fail. I'm going to do those things that are dishonoring to the Lord. Why? Still in this old fleshly body. His head with me, 82 years, is that right, Nancy? Almost 82 years of learning how to get its way in this old fleshly body. But you see, believers have that new birth, that infant birth of the Spirit, cleansing of the Spirit, the teaching of the Spirit. He leads and guides and directs. We should feed Him rather than feeding this old flesh. The spirit of Antichrist. We find here that John goes on to say, ye are of God. And once again, that family term of loving on that infant. Sweet, precious, and innocent as that baby is, we find John says, ye are of God, little children, and you have overcome them. Who? The evil spirits. That's who we've overcome, because greater is He. Who's He? The Holy Spirit. Greater is the Holy Spirit that is in you than He that is in the world. Little children, know Christ this morning as your Savior. You are a child of God. All of these things that John writes about for you, to encourage you, so you can test yourself to see, do you really love other believers? Do you? Do you have that kind of love that produces results? God-honoring results. I do, from time to time, need the encouragement of running through these simple tests that John gives here in 1 John. Just encouragement to me in my walk with the Lord. Still not perfect. Still fail. Still have adverse reactions and feelings. Certain people who still, I mean, who call themselves believers, I still do that. But you know what? I find it awfully freeing, awfully beneficial to run some of these tests that 1 John gives us. That John says, you can be assured you've passed the test because you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Father, we come this morning, we pray that your Spirit, who indwells every believer, Father, this morning, would work within our lives that we might see you plainly working in our feelings for other believers, in our desire to serve others, in our desire to reach the lost that are around us. Father, we ask that you would give us the assurance, the peace, the joy in knowing all of our sins have been paid for, and heaven is our home. Father, encourage us, we pray. We ask all these things in Christ's name.